Your options are limited. I'm really glad to be back. I'm really glad to I have something to share today that is continuing on in the whole line of treasure. Last week, I, as Chris said, I spoke about what Jesus taught when he taught about the cross.
Right.
And what it means to treasure his teachings on the cross. But I kind of neglected to define treasure. And this English language we use is pretty peculiar in some ways. You know, you have words that are spelled the same and pronounced differently.
Yeah.
They have different meanings.
That's true.
You can have words that sound the same, they are pronounced the same, but they have different spellings and different meanings.
Yeah.
You got antonyms and antisense. You got synonyms and synonym. It's all according to, you know, it's a peculiar thing. So I thought I would try to give a definition to treasure.
Okay.
Treasure can be used as either a verb or a noun. And it's really, one thing that's really cool about the word treasure is that it can be in the physical world, or it can be in the metal world, or in the idea realm of ideas, or things that are not physical or tangible.
Right.
But to look at treasure as a noun, I have wealth, things such as money or jewelry or precious metals, wealth that is stored up or hoarded. Or it could be the same it's a physical, metaphysical thing, something treasured like a person who's really rare in their attributes or personality. And a treasure could be just a collection of things that you value. Right. You know what? When I was a kid, I had a collection of rocks, and that was a treasure to me. Mm-hmm. It's pretty funny, but my mom, when she passed, she wanted to have a rock in her hand that my brother, my youngest brother, had in the last year or so given her, because he was like me. You know, you find sometimes a rock is just beautiful.
Yeah.
And she treasured it because that was the last one she got. She's gotten a lot of rocks though. I'm glad she didn't give them back at Christmas time. But treasure can also be a verb. It's being a verb, it's something you do. So, as a verb, treasure can be to hold or to keep as a precious thing, a prize or a cherish. You know, it's kind of on an emotional level. But it could also be the stuff that you collect. But the treasures that we work with here in the kingdom of God, a disciple, our treasures are supposed to be different. We're not supposed to hoard money.
Right.
Or property, or all these worldly values, because we want to pass them on. That shouldn't be our treasure.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with those things.
Mm-hmm.
Zulma and I, we are trying to live in such a way that we have something to pass on to our children, make their lives better,
mm-hmm.
our grandchildren. But it's not our treasure. You know, the things that we treasure here in the kingdom of God, those things are, they're not something you can hold on to.
Right.
You know, that a brother or a sister who's hurting, and I get a chance to give them comfort, the comfort that God has given me through times, through other brothers and sisters when I lost my mom and other times, I can pass that on.
Yeah.
The way we store up treasures, like Jesus said in Matthew 6, the way we store up treasures in heaven is through the love we share with one another.
Right.
It's through the love we have for people we've never met. Those are our treasures. Mm. Those are the things that we treasure. The treasures in the kingdom of God are things that are that you can't spend them on earth. You can't leave them in a will, but they're weighed in souls that are brought from light to darkness. And so this morning I'd like to speak about treasuring prayer. Prayer is a very difficult topic for me. I'm not coming to you as somebody who is an expert in prayer. Honestly, I chose to speak about prayer because it is a profound weakness in me. I have times when life is, my prayer life is just amazing. It is a smooth and natural conversation with God. And I have other times, I'm going through a time right now where prayer is just incredibly difficult for me to maintain, to be who I think I should be in prayer. You know, I admire that Tom Brown, who's in North River, he's just known by so many people about prayer. Before he semi-retired, every Saturday before he spoke, he would walk up and down the aisles at North River and through across the pews, and he's able to remember generally where everybody sits, and he prays by name for just about the whole congregation.
Wow.
Man, I wish I could do that. But I don't find that motivation in me like that to do it. But I still treasure prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I love those times when everything's going right. But I also treasure prayer in times like what I'm going through right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because prayer is indispensable for me. I can't live without it. I can't get enough of it.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm the biggest roadblock to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And so I want to talk today about treasuring prayer, that I treasure prayer.
Amen.
And so I'm going to start out just, why do I treasure prayer? I'm not going to have for you today a neat little sermon with an acronym that, you know, the first letter of the point spell out for you. I'm not going to have a neat little poem or anything like that. I have one reason why I treasure prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Just one. And that's all I have to talk about today is one point.
Yeah.
And the reason I treasure prayer is because of who I pray to.
Amen.
Because God has given me, life when, before I knew Him, I didn't have life. Before I knew God, I thought almost daily, at least weekly, I wanted to end my life, whatever there was of it. I spent every day for 6 years high all day long so that I didn't have to think about life. And then one day, I was walking down the road and a guy invited me he offered me a ride. I was 5 miles from home and that was welcome. But he invited me to go to a Bible discussion. It was just what I needed. I didn't have any reason to go to church because I'd only known hypocrites in my whole life. I've never met a religious person who I would have wanted to be like. Mm-hmm. And I had bosses. I had a boss who was a deacon in his church, and I didn't want to be like him. Mm-hmm. He was a hypocrite.
Mm-hmm.
But when God came to me, and in the person of Bob, he gave me life. I was in a, my life was, well, there's a lot of things I can tell you about it, but what I decided I'd like to do today is I want to read some scriptures that have helped me pray. And I'm going to say a little bit. And then we have, I have asked three disciples to share a scripture that they have found helpful in prayer. My first one is in 1 Chronicles 29. And I'm just going to read them. I don't have, I haven't printed out already, so I'm not even going to give you all the time to get there if you're looking for it. So, 1 Chronicles 29, 10 through 13. David blessed the Lord in the sight of all the assembly. And David said, "Blessed are you, Lord. Blessed are you, O Lord God of Israel, our Father forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, yours is the dominion, O Lord. And you exalt yourself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you. And you will rule over all. And in your hand is power and might. And it lies in your hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name."
Amen.
You know, I treasure God because of, just because of he is. You know, in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, just before that, Moses asked God, "Well, when I go to the sons of Israel, who should I say sent me?" And, you know, we normally hear it translated, "I am," and we've heard some other translations. I heard from a professor once in a class I was taking that he felt like the best translation of it, of what God said to him, is, "I will be what I will be." And it makes the most sense to me because of the way that, you know, in that time, most people thought there were many gods. And that so which one of these many gods should I say is sending me? He's telling them, "I am all there is."
Right.
That's right.
And that is something that is to me, a reason to pray.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is all that there is. In Psalm chapter 40, verses 1 through 5, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined me to me and heard me my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. How blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust and has not turned to the proud, nor to those who lapse into falsehood. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders which you have done, and your thoughts toward us, there is none to compare with you. If I would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous for me to count." God's thoughts toward us. God has decided that I'm worth his time. He inclined to me. Another translation will say he bowed down to hear me. But he wants to hear my voice.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to pray because of it. You know, when God reached out to me, I was in a pit of destruction. I was stuck in a nasty swamp of drugs and thievery and just no purpose in life. I had no reason to be alive. And this reminds me all the time, I was stuck in a miry pit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But God inclined his ear so that he could hear me.
Amen.
And at this point right now, I'd like to ask three disciples, Scott, and then Gloria, and then Todd. They're going to come and share their thoughts briefly.
Well, thank you, Donald, for asking me. This scripture, you know, I think about it a lot. I'm reading to the Bible, and I came across the scripture, and it reminds me how much I really enjoy and how I like to want to pray after I read it. It's from Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. It says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." And it took me a long time, 35 years, before I became a Christian. And in the first commandment is, do not use God's name in vain. And I found that actually the correct interpretation is, do not carry God's name in vain, meaning do not do evil in God's name.
Wow.
And so I'm very, my strength is that I'm easily influenced. Mm-hmm. And my weakness is that I'm easily influenced.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Is this what we're influenced by? That's the key. Mm-hmm. And I do not want to, in my last day, not hearing from God, good job.
Well done.
Good and faithful servant. That would be a tragedy of a life.
Yeah.
And so I know I have to get on my knees and pray to God just to help me not be so easily influenced by the world, but be influenced by His Son.
Amen.
Hello. I have to say, I just have to stop and praise God for Donald choosing this topic. I feel so much like the Holy Spirit is using him to get at me. It's like, you need to talk about prayer because it's what you need to do more of.
Yeah.
So the passage I want to focus on is 2 Chronicles 20. From 1 to 30, I'm not going to read the whole passage, but it's a, you probably know the story. It's about Jehoshaphat, who was a king of Israel, and he was a young king. He came in, I think they said he was about 25 when he came in, and he had to rule Judah and Jerusalem, and he had a heart for God, and he really went after trying to bring the nation back to God. But after all of this good hard work he was doing, some of the surrounding countries came to attack him. And what I love about this story is how Jehoshaphat responded, because it shows how I need to be responding, acting and responding in prayer. So here he has this crisis. Some people come and tell him this vast army is coming. And what does he do? Immediately, he says, we're going to inquire of the Lord. So the first thing, that example is Jehoshaphat's humility. He is king of Judah and Jerusalem. So he can do whatever he wants. You know, I can imagine if I was queen, my first thought would be, okay, where's my army? You know, let's ramp up. Like, what weapons do we have to fight against? You know, like, I'm already solving the problem. And he went to God first. He said, what should I do?
Mm-hmm.
And so that humility, given his role, it was immediate. He didn't try to solve the problem first and then realize, oh, I can't do this. I need God. He was like, I need to start with God and then go from there. And that's just so much the opposite of what I do.
Wow.
And so then he not only inquired of the Lord, his humility was, all of us are fasting and praying. We're all going to inquire of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And it said the people followed him. They all came to this town And they were all standing there before the Lord. And so he's praying, and he's talking to God, and he's laying it all out. And so just his trust, he was like, I am going to trust God above my own ideas or my own plans for how to make this happen. So then what I love is after he finishes this prayer, it says in verse 13, all the men of Judah with their wives and children and little ones stood there before the Lord. It's like, we're going to wait right here till you give us an answer.
Yeah.
You know, and I just love that, you know, that he just didn't pray. It's like, okay, now let me run and do something. The patience he had, and I am so impatient. It's not good. God does not like it. But I'm like, I want to pray today and have, and like 10 seconds later, have God rolling out the answer. And I, you know, and I wait a lot because, you know, God is pruning, he is refining, he is burning that impatience out of me.
Amen.
Because he's like, I don't really care about your time frame, you know? And so, patience is something that they had, but what did they do when they were waiting? It says they praised God. So they were up. They weren't just kind of sitting around saying, oh my God, I don't know what to do. They started praising the Lord. And then the prophet came and told, and that's something I don't take the time to do nearly as much. I'm like, okay, I want to say thank you when you've done what I asked you to do. But it's like just praising God for who he is and trusting that whatever's going to come out of this is going to be for my good. It's good. Because our God is good, and he has plans to prosper us. So whatever happens is good. The other thing that Jehoshaphat did, you know, the prophet said, hey, don't worry about it. God's got this. And then he went into action. So this is something else. God, you know, we just can't pray and just sit around and wait for God. And this is the part where I'm ready now. Like, okay, I'm ready for the action part. But he went and acted in the way that the prophet said. He said, you're not fighting this battle. So there's a whole different mindset. Mm-hmm. So this is God's battle.
Amen.
You just have to take up your position and stand.
Yep.
Go out there on the battlefield and stand. And then God sent the angels and the people killed each other. The enemies killed each other. And Israel didn't even, Judah and Jerusalem didn't even have to fight the enemy. Mm-hmm. All they did was go to the battlefield and stand. And God is showing me over and over and over again, I don't need your strength. I just need your obedience. Go out there and stand. And then just God's faithfulness. That's the thing I want to end with. God is so faithful.
Amen.
He was faithful with Jehoshaphat in this situation. He wiped out these armies, had them wipe out each other. And then the Judah and Jerusalem were able to take all this loot back. So not only did they beat the enemies, but they were enriched by standing firm in God. And just reminds me, you know, God didn't have to do that part, right? That they got rich from that. But that was like just a little extra because you did what I told you to do. So it's a great example. It's one of the stories in the Bible I go to time and time again.
Amen.
That God is just really trying to help me to have the character of Jehoshaphat. Amen.
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 Hi, everybody.
Good morning.
About a little less than 21 years ago, I was after I'd been baptized, it hadn't been too long, I was outside reading the Bible, and I was reading it front to back the whole way. And in Psalms that particular day, and it was Psalm 66. I read it. I turned the page back when I could actually read a page of the Bible and not this. And then, but something just hit me, and I went back to 66, and then verses 19 and 20 just really hit me. I'm sitting there thinking about it, and I just started crying because it just really impacted me. I'm going to read Psalm 66 because of the whole thing, I think it'll make a lot more sense. It says, shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing the praises of your name. Come and see what God has done, his awesome deeds for mankind. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in him. He rules forever by his power. His eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against him. Praise our God, all peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. For you, God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but you brought us to a place of abundance. I will come to your temple with burnt offerings and fulfill my vows to you, vows my lips promised and my mouth spoke when I was in trouble. I will sacrifice fat animals to you and an offering of rams. I will offer bulls and goats. Come and hear, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what he has done for me. I cried out to him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. And then this is 19 and 20. But God has surely listened and heard my voice in prayer. Praise be to God who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me.
Amen.
And it took, it took a lot for me to get to the point where I was broken enough to become a disciple. And, for years and years and years, I thought, I'm the man, I'm so cool, and, I'm perfect. Mm-hmm. And, so I had to go through a tremendous amount of stuff to get to the point where a friend of mine reached out to me. And so this whole chapter, is a synopsis of my life before I was a disciple and that, and then after I became a disciple. And very grateful that God kept up with me.
Yeah.
Kept his patience with me and didn't let me go the way I was continuing to go. Mm-hmm. So.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you guys. Thank you so much. It really means a lot. Something that you should realize from what we just saw, there are as many reasons to pray to God.
Yeah.
As there are people in the world, not just today, but there ever have been. And I don't know how many that is, but we're probably talking 20 billion anyway. But there's no end to the reasons to pray to God, whether it's for praise, for thanksgiving, out of desperation. There's nothing that we care about that God doesn't care about as well.
Okay.
I have a whole list of scriptures here, and I'm not going to read them to you, but if anybody wants it, you can have my notes. So what I'd like to do, you might think that I'd want to end in prayer, but what I'd like to do is I want to read something that I found just incredibly inspiring. There's a book called A Serious Call to a Devout and Holy Life. With a title like that, I have not read it, but I have read this quote from it in several different places. The first place I encountered it was in a book by Dallas Willard. It is called Life Without Lack. But this is written by a man named William Law in 1728. And the quote goes like this, and this will be my close. First of all, my child, said Paternus to his son, think magnificently of God. Magnify his providence, adore his power, frequent his service, and pray to him frequently and instantly. Bear him always in your mind. Teach your thoughts to reverence him in every place, for there is no place where he is not. Therefore, my child, fear and worship God, and love God first and last. Think magnificently of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.